This is KIXI AM and FM in Seattle.
CBS News, the American ambassador to the former government of South Vietnam, says the evacuation of Saigon would not have been necessary if the United States had kept its promises. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Ambassador Graham Martin made his remarks aboard the U.S. carrier Blue Ridge. He said there was no reason to leave Vietnam this way and said the United States should have continued its support after the Paris Accord. Former President Nixon promised the Saigon government the United States would use full force if the North Vietnamese broke the Paris Peace Accord. However, Congress later enacted legislation prohibiting the use of American troops or air power in or over Southeast Asia. More flights of refugees from South Vietnam continue to arrive in California. Terry Drinkwater reports.
For most of those here at Camp Pendleton now, the prospects are fairly bright. They are educated. Many speak at least some English, and all but a few have friends, which may bring employment in the United States. It is the refugees who will arrive in the days ahead that worry officials here. Many of them are without American contacts they can call on for help. Today, nearly 2,000 additional refugees arrived at Camp Pendleton. The Quonset huts were nearly full, so a tent city was under construction. Marines working around the clock, getting ready for the final evacuees from Saigon. As the politicians so often say of this country, ours is a nation of immigrants. But because of the circumstances under which the Vietnamese are arriving, and because of their race and color, adjustments to their new lives are likely to be very difficult indeed. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Camp Pendleton, California.
More on the refugees after this.
Morning. Greenhaven State Prison. Today, Jerry Rice is getting out. He paid for his mistake. We paid, too. About 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. And unless he gets a job, he'll probably go back in.
Wait till your daddy sees you. He's not going to recognize you, huh? You excited?
If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime by giving a guy like Jerry Rice a job. He's been thoroughly screened, so you'll know all about him. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it. Nothing can fight it better than jobs.
Welcome home, Daddy. Are you here forever?
Forever, honey.
The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Officials at Camp Pendleton say it is more than likely that some 40,000 refugees destined for other bases in Arkansas and Florida will arrive first in California. Congressmen from all three states have been besieged with complaints and questions about the influx of Vietnam refugees. Congressman Thomas Reese of California says some Californians panic, thinking the Vietnamese would inundate the community, take away jobs, and he says cause disease.
I wasn't very happy with the calls. I usually tell my constituents if I disagree with them, because I think the United States has always been a haven for political refugees. It has been for our fathers and mothers and grandparents, and I think we need to continue that policy.
President Ford said he ordered the evacuation of thousands of Vietnamese before the fall of Saigon, because otherwise they would have been killed. The president said he was proud of his decision. India and Sweden have recognized the new South Vietnamese government. Australia and Thailand say they are preparing to do the same thing. More CBS News after this.
Foolish pleasure may sound like a waste of time, but not this year. I'm Win Elliott for CBS Radio Sports, and the foolish pleasure I'm talking about is the horse that's out front with the odds makers to take this year's Kentucky Derby. I'm going to be in Louisville to bring you all the color of the classic from Churchill Downs, along with Kaywood Ledford, who's going to call the race. And that's not all. We'll be at trackside with Ray Haight for the Preakness and the Belmont. Triple Crown coverage starts this Saturday with the Kentucky Derby. You listen to it exclusively on the CBS Radio Network.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet Muhammad Ali.
We're going to bounce it and trounce it. It's a mean disease. We're going to chill it and kill it and knock us to his knees. We're going to ground it and pound it. And that's not talk, because the man on the job is Jonah Salk.
We are engaged in basic research aimed at piecing together the puzzle of multiple sclerosis. And I believe its time has come.
Gonna whoop MS. Now that's the latest. And I know you're gonna help because you're the greatest.
Doctors and anesthesiologists are preparing to strike 2 hours from now in San Francisco. They are protesting higher premiums for medical malpractice insurance, which go into effect tomorrow. Some doctors are facing insurance charges of up to $22,000 a year beginning Thursday. The Agriculture Department reports the nation's food stamp rolls now number 19 million people. That's an increase of 500,000 from the previous month. In the past year, the number of food stamp recipients has increased 40% and now includes about 1 out of every 12 Americans. The Labor Department reports the number of workers receiving unemployment benefits dropped slightly in mid-April. The department says 153,000 people went off the unemployment rolls the second week in April. However, there are still more than 6 million Americans receiving some sort of compensation. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Stay tuned for CBS Mystery Theater. The weather forecast for Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, Everett, and vicinity. Fair through Friday. Low temperatures in the low 40s. But the highs expected to be in the middle 60s. Chance of measurable rainfall less than 10% tonight and tomorrow. A 10% chance tomorrow night. The creaking door is about to open on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And tonight's tale, The Small Question of Terror. Here is your host, E.G. Marshall.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. What is terror? It's really only a word, unless you've experienced it. And once you've experienced it, there's no word for it. It defies description. There are all forms of terror. Extreme fear of physical injury, for one. Paralyzing fear of insupportable pain, physical or mental. Mental. This, I'm told, can be the most horrifying form of terror of them all.
You're trying to terrify me, Mr. Stainer.
Terrify? Miss Mead, you've got me all wrong. We here at the Bureau of Human Affairs don't terrify people.
Then why don't you tell me what it is you want to know?
Why don't you tell me? After all, you're the one who knows.
But I know nothing. That's what's terrifying. You want me to tell you something, but I don't know what it is.
But you do. You simply haven't thought about it enough.
I have thought and thought.
No, no, you only think you've thought. Go home now. Go home, Miss Mead. And think some more.
Our mystery drama, A Small Question of Terror, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
The blue whale is the biggest animal that ever lived. Bigger than 2 dinosaurs, heavier than 25 elephants.
Today it's nearly extinct after years of relentless commercial hunting. Now other whales are in danger. For what? Some rare vitamin? Some precious serum? No. For margarine, pet food, shoe polish. What a way to go. Help save the whales we have left. Write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York.
It was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish, the biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
As I said at the outset, terror can take many forms, disguises. Consider the case of Alexis Mead, a young woman, intelligent, attractive, occupation, sales clerk, engaged to be married, lives with her widowed mother, Emily, whom she supports. The place? An apartment in, a city. A city in, a country. Time? Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Not important. What's important is it happened. And it could happen again.
But, Mother, what does the Bureau of Human Affairs want with me? What could this... What's his name? Where's the letter? Oh, here it is. Gilbert Stainer. What could he possibly want with me?
Well, now, if you ask me, Alexis, it's probably nothing at all. Some little unimportant matter about, I don't know. Nothing to get upset about, dear.
Mother, this is from the Bureau of Human Affairs, which is just a cover for the secret police. And this man Stainer is titled here under the signature. He's director of interrogation. In heaven's name, what could he want to interrogate me about?
Well, I can't imagine. I really can't. Unless you did something you shouldn't have done. Did you, Alexis? Like, I don't know, complain to someone, maybe at the office, that we haven't enough to eat? That the protector, our glorious protector, has called for austerity measures?
Mother, please stop running on.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I do talk too much. I know.
Mother, you didn't complain about something. Anything? Did you?
Me? Complain?
Say anything that somebody might have reported.
Oh, no, really, Alexis. Oh, I do talk too much. I do, I know. But, my dear, you know better than to ask me that. Well, you know better than to even think. I'd be foolish enough to say anything critical of our protector or the government or anything.
Mother.
Sorry, dear. The letter gives no reason why this Mr. Stürmer wants to see you.
Stainer. No. It just says I'm to appear at his office Monday at 3 p.m.
Well, you'll find out then what it is he wants when you get there.
That's 4 days from now, Mother. I've got to wait and worry for 4 solid days, to say nothing of nights.
Worry? Oh, my dear, I certainly wouldn't worry.
But Mother, some people who have gone into the Human Affairs building, in fact, a good many people, have never been seen or heard of again.
Oh, I've heard that.
Well, you can believe it. I'll get it. Hello?
Eric, honey.
Oh, Eric. How are you, darling?
Well, I'm not sure. I just got home and found a letter waiting for me from the Bureau of Human Affairs.
You too?
What? You?
Yes. I'm ordered to appear at 3 o'clock next Monday.
I've been told to be there at 2.
Who signed your letter?
Somebody named Stainer. Gilbert Stainer. What do you suppose this is all about?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew now instead of having to wait until Monday.
Yeah, me too. It kind of worries me, Alexis.
It scares me, Eric. It scares me half to death.
Yes?
My name is Alexis Mead, and I...
Oh, yes. You're here to see Mr. Stainer at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
You're early.
Oh, I was afraid of being late.
Afraid? What would you be afraid of, Miss Mead?
Well, I didn't mean afraid, exactly.
But that's what you said. There's nothing to be afraid of, Miss Mead, if you have nothing to fear.
I haven't.
Well, then. Eric.
Alexis.
What did he want, Stainer? What did he ask you?
You're next, Miss Mead.
I'll see you later, Alexis.
Come to dinner tonight?
Okay.
Miss Mead is here, Mr. Stainer.
Thank you, Miss Peters. Do come in, Miss Mead.
Thank you.
And sit down, please. That chair in front of my desk. Well, now, Miss Mead, first let me say I'm sorry if you've been put to any inconvenience.
Oh, no, no.
But you did have to take off from your job early. I'm told you lose 2 hours' pay.
Who told you?
It's so, isn't it?
Well, yes, but
the
who...
Bureau will see that you're reimbursed for any loss of pay you incurred today or may incur in the future.
The future? I'll be coming here again?
That'll depend entirely on you. How is your mother?
My mother is fine, thank you, fine.
That arthritis flare-up she suffered last week, that's over with?
Yes.
Delighted to hear it. A cup of coffee?
No, thank you, Mr. Stainer. I'd like to know why...
A cigarette?
Thank you, I don't smoke.
Oh, that's right. You gave up cigarettes several months ago. Too expensive. What with the tax, the surtax and all, I believe you said...
I don't recall saying anything like that.
No?
No.
But that is why you quit.
Yes. Mr. Stainer, you certainly didn't ask me here to discuss my reasons for giving up smoking.
No, goodness me, no.
Then why am I here?
It could be that I just like to talk and look at pretty women.
I beg your pardon?
A joke, a little joke. Although you are extremely attractive, you know.
Thank you.
Well, now, I asked you to come here today because...
Because?
I thought there might be something you cared to tell me.
Something I cared to tell you?
Something you might care to tell me.
Such as?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, I'm sure I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what could I know? If you could give me some idea of what it is you're after,
I'm not after anything, Miss Mead. The way you put it, what is it you're after? You make it sound as if I'm pursuing you, trying to hound
you. No, I didn't mean it that way.
No, no, of course you didn't. Well?
Well?
Is there something you might care to tell the Bureau? Tell me.
I can't think of anything, Mr. Stainer.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
Perhaps if you gave it some thought.
What thought? How can I think about something when I don't know what to think about?
It will come to you. Think about it long enough and it'll come. It might be in the morning when you're at work, or during mealtime, or in the middle of the night in bed. You'll suddenly say to yourself, that's it. That's what I had to tell the Bureau.
Mr. Stainer, I'm sorry, but I can't imagine...
You'll see. Now, you just go away and think about it a while, and you'll see. Let me escort you to the door.
Mr. Stainer, please, I assure you, believe me, there is nothing I know of, can think of. Your hand, Mr. Stainer.
Oh. Sorry. Your coat. I was only admiring the cloth. I like the feel of cloth like this. So soft. So pleasurable to the touch. Soft as a woman's skin.
Good day, Mr. Stainer.
Good day, Miss Mead. Do some thinking now. See what you can come up with before our next meeting.
Before our next meeting. Last thing he said just as I left.
Oh, stop worrying and eat your dinner, Alexis. What there is of it. And you, Eric?
Those were his last words to me, too. That means he's going to call us in again.
Obviously.
Have my meat, Alexis.
Mother, no. No. You finish the meat. I don't want any more.
You don't want any more because you think I haven't had enough.
Well, you haven't. None of us has. None of us ever does.
Everything's in short supply.
Oh, and the prices. I was saying to Maggie Norton only the other day. I met her in the supermarket. You know, we hadn't seen each other in months.
You didn't say anything to Maggie. Anything that might be misconstrued.
What?
Anything she could have reported to the Bureau of Human Affairs.
Now, what do you take me for, Alexis?
I'm only trying to find out, searching for whatever it is Stainer knows.
But didn't he say he doesn't know?
Eric and I wouldn't have been ordered to appear if he didn't know. He's just playing cat and mouse. That's what he's doing. He's trying to get us to confess to something.
Well, confess to what? I'm telling you, I'm so on edge even now, even after just one meeting with him. I'd tell him what he wants to know, if I knew what it is.
Eric, are you sure you don't?
Don't know?
Yes.
I don't get you, Alexis.
Could it be that you maybe said something sometime to someone that might have been better left unsaid?
You think I'm some kind of nut?
Of course not, but...
Oh, but what?
Don't be so touchy, Eric. You could have said something. I could. Mother could.
Not a word. Not a word.
I'm no fool, Alexis. Not me. You just don't know who you can trust anymore. I guess there wouldn't be any more coffee, Mrs. Mead, would there?
Maybe a few drops, Eric. Give me your cup.
Well, something has been said, and if we're smart...
Here you are, Eric.
We'll find out what it was. Because one thing is sure, what happened with Mr. Gilbert Stainer today is only the beginning.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Mother. Oh, Mother, Mother, please, please, now don't start
torture,
crying.
That's what you mean. Even maybe death. Oh, why, it's got so you're afraid to say have a good day to someone or keep well or anything. Well, I said to Maggie Norton, we hadn't seen each other in months, and we were talking about the scarcities and the high prices, and she said not to worry because the protector would take care of things eventually. And I said, I could have bit my tongue. I said, you know, joking. I said, someday, he'll protect us to death.
Eric, you dropped your cup.
I'm sorry.
Mother, you didn't say that to Maggie Norton.
Oh, I could have bit my tongue.
But I told you. You said it to me once, and I told you then to never say it again. Eric, what is it?
It's nothing.
Why did you drop the cup? Was it what Mother just said?
No, honestly.
Is that what Stainer is after? Is it?
Well, how do I know what Stainer is after?
You do know. What Mother said about the protector protecting us to death. Is that it? Eric, for heaven's sake, tell me. I can't stand not knowing. I can't stand it.
Like a stain is already spreading through Alexis Mead. To know the truth will be bad, but not knowing is even worse. As Gilbert Stainer is well aware, a human being can face what he knows, but fear of the unknown is the most corrosive destroyer of the human spirit yet discovered. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
When you shop at your friendly Tradewell store, there's never any mystery about the values you receive. Tradewell offers the best food, the best selection, the best service, and at the best possible price. So don't be mystified about shopping for food. This week, your friendly Tradewell is having its annual Standby Spring Sale. Some of the savings you'll find include Standby condensed soups, tomato or vegetable with beef broth, six for a dollar. USDA choice boneless beef cross ribs roast, $1.38. Large beefsteak tomatoes, three for $1. Shop Tradewell during its annual Standby Spring Sale. Remember, there are extra savings if you buy by the case at Tradewell.
Morning, Greenhaven State Prison. The day Jerry Rice is getting out. He paid for his mistake. We paid, too, about 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. And unless he gets a job, he'll probably go back in.
Wait till your daddy sees you. He's not going to recognize you, huh? You excited?
If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime by giving a guy like Jerry Rice a job. He's been thoroughly screened, so you'll know all about him. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it. Nothing can fight it better than jobs.
Welcome home, Daddy. Are you here forever?
Forever, honey.
The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
A small question, a simple, seemingly innocent question. Is there anything you'd care to tell me? A small, simple question? Yes, but one fraught with terror for those who are asked by Gilbert Stainer of the Bureau of Human Affairs, for Alexis Mead, of whom he has asked it. In the apartment she shares with her mother, Alexis faces her fiancé, Eric, and cries,
Eric, you know... You do know. For heaven's sake, tell me. I can't stand not knowing.
All right. I'll tell you. I didn't want to. I was afraid it would make things worse for you.
Eric, tell me.
This afternoon, Stainer asked me if I had ever heard anyone make that remark about the protector. Of course, I lied. I said no.
You had heard it. Where? Who said it?
Well, honey... You did.
I?
Well, don't you remember? We were sitting in the park and you said... Well, I don't remember the exact words, but something like... Mother said the funniest thing today. Could be a dangerous thing if she ever repeated it. And I warned her not to, but... You just had to tell me, you said. And you told me. You don't remember?
Yes. I'd forgotten about it. It didn't seem important then. There was no one around. No one could have overheard. Was there?
I don't remember. You know, we had a little laugh over it, and then I guess we both forgot it.
And he did ask you, Stainer.
If I'd ever heard that remark made by someone. And like I said no.
Well, is it such a terrible thing to say? I said it as a joke. You said it as a joke.
Mother, the trouble is the world we live in is no joke. I meant nothing, you meant nothing when you said what you said about protecting us to death. But they can take a thing like that and build it and build it.
Alexis.
I'm sorry. So that's what he's after. He wanted me... wants me to say... Perhaps you mean a remark my mother once made about the protector protecting us to death.
Would they torture me then? Kill me?
They'll never torture you, Mother, because they're never going to find out. Eric didn't tell Stainer where he'd heard it. And I'll certainly never tell him.
Under torture?
Not under the worst torture they can think of.
Eric?
Don't worry, Mrs. Mead. They'll get nothing out of me. I promise you that.
Oh, thank you, Eric, thank you. I'll make a little more coffee. Not much. We can have a little.
Eric?
Yes?
Keep that promise. My mother, she's old and she's sick. And I love her. Keep your promise, Eric.
Well, don't stand there staring at me as if you'd seen a ghost, Miss Meade. Sit down. Is there something wrong?
I was asked to come and see Mr. Stainer again. I didn't expect to find you behind his desk, Miss... Or is it Mrs.?
Miss Peters. Miss Peters. Mr. Stainer was called away unexpectedly. I'm taking over for him temporarily. I am his assistant, you know.
I didn't know.
Yes. And perhaps it's just as well, his being needed elsewhere at the moment. He himself thought, he mentioned, that you might speak more openly to me. You know, woman to woman.
Miss Peters, let's get something straight. I didn't know then, and I don't know now, what it is he wanted me to tell him.
But of course you do.
I do not. Oh, my. What was that?
What was what?
That scream.
Scream? You heard a scream.
You know I heard a scream. It came from the torture chambers in the cellar.
Now, don't tell me you believe the stories you've heard, Miss Meade. You know about the hideous tortures that go on in this place. Oh, we are not in the habit of torturing people here. Now, don't look so frightened, my dear. Well, my goodness, the color has drained out of your face. Here, let me...
Oh! What are you doing?
My dear, I'm sorry. Did I hurt you? I only pinched your cheeks. Just a little to bring the color back. Oh, I am sorry if I hurt you. I didn't really, did I?
No.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. My good heavens, I wouldn't hurt you for the world, my dear. None of us would. Gilbert Stainer, there isn't a gentler, more sympathetic man on this earth. Any woman will tell you that. Any woman who gets to know him, that is.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
You'll see when you get to know him better. But he is a man, you know. By that I mean he can be, well, brutal, too. He has that other side to him. A side that shows when he, well, you might say, loses patience. Take a tip from me, Alexis. Don't make Gilbert lose his patience.
Thank you for the advice.
What is it now, Alexis?
You know what it is. That scream.
You're letting your imagination run away with you. And don't you start imagining things like frightful tortures and slow deaths. All you have to do, my dear, is tell us if there's anything you would care to tell us.
If you would tell me what it is you want to know.
But how could we know what it is you'd care to tell us?
Oh, this is impossible. This is just plain simply impossible.
No, no, you're tired, my dear. And those screams you thought you heard are still bothering you. I tell you what. You go home and think things over.
I don't have to.
But you do. Gilbert and I have been through this many times before, Alexis. Believe me, we have. And always, people come back and say, is this what you wanted to know? And it always is. You'll remember. I know you will. You'll remember.
Eric? Eric, are you home? Eric! What took you so long?
I was asleep.
Asleep for 3 days and nights? I've telephoned you again and again. You haven't come to see me. Eric! What's happened?
Well, nothing, nothing. I've been very busy, tied up.
Is that why you're limping?
Well, I hurt my back.
You did? Or they did?
They?
You know who I mean. He had you tortured, didn't he? Stainer.
What gave you that idea?
The way you're limping, and your jaw still swollen. Eric!
They tortured me.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my darling, my poor
darling. Don't, Alexis, don't.
What?
Don't touch me. Don't even come near me. Oh, my God.
Eric, darling, what?
I told them. I couldn't help myself. The pain. Impossible not to tell. Not to scream it out as loud as I could.
What? What did you tell them?
You know.
Tell me anyhow. I must be sure.
I told them, yes, I'd heard someone make that remark. Our protector will protect us to death. And then I told them, Alexis, forgive me. Forgive me. I told them it was you.
It's all right. It's going to be all right. The first thing we must do is keep our heads, not panic.
But you don't understand. I'm in no danger. You are. I saved my own neck by sacrificing yours.
Don't you realize you're in as much danger as I?
How can I be?
You are involved now. You're an accessory to the crime.
Crime? What crime? A harmless remark?
Eric, don't you understand? It's what the stainers of this world feed on, turning the innocent into the guilty. It's their business. It's what they live for.
But what can we do?
The first thing I must do is protect Mother. Or did you tell them that, too? That Mother was the first to...
No, die? No.
All right, then at least she's safe. But they'll question me again now, and torture is more than likely.
Oh, what I've let you in for. I could kill myself.
None of that now. We've got to keep our heads. Think. Let me see. Luke. Luke Stevens.
Luke Stevens. What about him?
That place of his in the mountains. It's not too far from the border.
What are you talking about, the border?
Well, he's got to escape. Leave the country. There's no other way. Now, if we could get to Luke's place, we could hide there for a few days, then slip over the border.
Well, that's impossible. I'm being watched now. You're being watched. We must be.
I'm sure of it, but we've got to try. We can't be any worse off than we are now, so listen to me.
Yes.
I'm going to go home. I will get Mother. In an hour, let's say an hour, you go down, get in your car, and drive to that favorite spot of ours in the park. Mother and I will meet you there, and then we'll get in your car and head for Luke's place in the mountains.
But if we're being watched...
We'll have to take the only chance we've got. Try to give them the slip.
Not much chance of that.
No. But it is the only chance we've got.
I don't understand, Alexis. Why suddenly do you want to go for a walk in the park? I don't feel like going for a walk.
Mother, please don't argue. I want to go for a walk, and I want you to come with me.
Well, you're acting very strangely, Alexis. And here, what are you stuffing in your handbag?
Mother, please,
Toothbrushes? Half a candy bar? The candy we've been saving for a special treat? Alexis, what is this?
I will tell you later.
You tell me now, or I will not step one foot out of this apartment.
Mother, please trust me.
Oh, my goodness, it seems we have visitors.
Yes, I'm afraid we do. Yes?
Are you Alexis Mead?
Yes.
Is that your mother there?
Yes.
Both of you to come with me, please.
Where? And why are we to come with you?
I can't answer that.
You don't have to. I know where. And why.
Alexis Mead fights the terror that tries to surge through her as she and her mother go with the agent from the secret police. To what? Torture? Death? We'll find out when I return shortly with Act Three.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal, and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Hun, would you please pass the potatoes?
Anyone want some more roast? Bill, care for a couple more slices?
What's for dessert?
Dessert can wait. Finish what's on your plate. And don't forget your vegetables.
Boy, was that good.
You're not finished. What am I going to do with all this food? Who wants seconds?
A typical American scene around a typical American dinner table. Yet, while these people are having their dinner just as they've done every night of their lives, there are millions of children starving just as they've done every night of their lives. Children in Honduras, in Bangladesh, in Vietnam. Save the Children wants to help these children and their families and their communities. But to help them, we need your help first to provide food for the children of the world. Send your contributions to Save the Children, Box 970, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, New York 10017. Do it before your next meal. You'll find it very satisfying.
An innocent remark has brought Alexis Mead, her mother, and her fiancé Eric to the brink of torture and possible death. Eric, breaking under the torture's exquisite pain, revealed he'd heard the remark from Alexis. But Alexis has not yet divulged that her mother, Emily, first made the remark to her. Not yet. Now, as all three sit and wait in a small room at the Bureau of Human Affairs, a fourth presence waits with them. An invisible but palpable presence whose name is Terror.
2 hours! They've kept us waiting 2 hours! Why? Why?
For the same reason they picked you up and brought you here with Mother and me. So we could break each other down with our personal fears and tensions.
Alexis, I want you to be honest with me. All this... it's because of that remark, that silly, joking remark I made.
No.
I'm sure it is. What else could it be?
I don't know what remark you're talking about, Mother. You never made any remark to me that I know of.
But of course I did. The one about the Alexis.
What are you doing to me? I am trying to silence you, Mother. But I might have known that's impossible.
Room could be bugged.
Bugs? Bugs? Hidden microphones, Mother. Now, please, please don't say another word.
You, come with me.
Me? Where are you taking her?
Come along.
But I...
No!
I... Wait a minute, please. My mother is old. She's old and she's sick. Wait, please wait. Eric. What are they going to do to her?
I don't like to think.
I can't stand it. Not to know what they're going to do to her. They're doing this to bring me down. They know what my mother means to me. They're using fear, my fear, of what they may do to her to break me.
Well, you can't be sure of that.
You, this way.
What for?
Just come along, please.
They're going to torture me again. I won't be able to stand it. Alexis!
Come along now.
Alexis! Alexis!
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Yes. Yes, God. Oh, I go on my knees and I beg you to help me. I've never asked help of you in the past, but I need you now. Be with me, I beg you. If there's a way out, a way to escape, show it to me. Not for my sake, but theirs, Mother's and Eric's. I'm not begging for myself, but for them, because I love them.
Why, Miss Mee, what on earth are you doing on your knees?
Praying, Miss Peters?
Oh, come now. You don't really believe in God, do you?
I don't know.
Come along. Gilbert, Mr. Stainer is ready to see you now.
I've told him all I know.
Which was that you knew nothing. A lie, of course, but never mind. He has something to tell you.
What?
Come along, my dear. Find out for yourself.
Sit down, Miss Mead. Alexis, if I may, sit down. No, no, don't leave us, Miss Peters. Alexis won't mind if you stay, I'm sure. We're all friends by this time. Though you certainly don't look very friendly, Alexis.
Mr. Stainer.
Gilbert, please. I do want to be your friend, Alexis. I've wanted to be from the first. And I must say that I'm puzzled by your attitude. You have nothing to gain by being unfriendly toward me, and much to gain by being otherwise. And Miss Peters will tell you that.
It's true, Alexis.
I know that once Alexis realizes I want to be her friend, she'll be amenable to my wishes. You will now, won't you, Alexis?
That depends, Mr. Stainer.
Gilbert?
Mr. Stainer, that depends on your wishes.
My only wish at the moment is for you to tell me the truth.
About what?
When I first asked you here, I made clear to you that I simply wanted you to tell me anything you thought the Bureau ought to know.
And I made it clear to you that I knew of nothing, could think of nothing.
But of course you know now that you were wrong.
I know nothing of the sort.
Very well, Alexis. Miss Mead, I'll be plain with you. I first ordered you to come and see me because I'd learned of a remark that had been made. A treasonous remark. When I asked you to tell me about it, you denied all knowledge of it.
You never asked me about a treasonous remark. You asked me if there was anything I cared to tell you.
Certainly a treasonous remark, a remark punishable by death, my dear, slow death, as you know, would be something you cared to tell.
If I'd known about the remark, I didn't, and I don't.
Curious. After all, you made it.
I made it?
Your fiancé, Eric, didn't tell you when you visited him late this afternoon? I can have him brought here to this office in minutes. He didn't tell you?
He said something about my having said something about our protector.
And what did you say about our protector?
It was said jokingly. I meant nothing by it.
Perhaps, but what did you say?
I said, if things kept on, our protector would protect us to death.
Well, at last, Peters, she has admitted it.
Well, of course, we knew she would, Gilbert. You never fail. You always have a way with women.
Thank you. So then, Miss Mead, you admit you said this to your fiancé?
Yes.
Knowing that treason is punishable by death?
I told you it was said as a joke.
A joke? Unfortunately, I fail to see the joke. If there is something funny in the thought that our protector will protect us to death... No, I simply don't see it. Perhaps you would explain it, Miss Mead.
If it has to be explained...
Yes?
Jokes can't be explained... I've admitted I said it. What more do you want?
What more?
If I'm guilty of treason, I'm guilty of treason. Then torture me, kill me. But let my mother and Eric go.
Happily, if it's possible. If it's at all possible, after you tell me who first made the remark to you. Who?
No one.
There was someone.
There was no one.
But we know there was someone. Who was it?
If you know, why do you ask me?
Oh, first we're unfriendly, now we're arrogant.
I'm not being arrogant.
You are what I say you are. Now let me tell you something, my independent, arrogant little wench. And you will be my wench before I'm through with you. Now, you can make it easy on yourself or hard. Which shall it be? The easy way is to admit to me here and now who made the remark to you. The hard way, I shall simply hand you over to Miss Peters. Well, the easy way, the hard way, which?
The easy way.
You're being wise. Who said to you, our protector will protect us to death? Well, who?
You want me to tell you in front of Miss Peters?
What?
You don't, do you?
Why shouldn't you?
Oh, I guess I've said the wrong thing.
What wrong thing? What are you saying?
Oh, Gilbert. Gilbert, darling, I can't tell you with her here.
Oh, what the devil is she saying?
What the devil is she saying, Gilbert?
I don't know. I don't know.
What, Miss Mead?
I can't tell you that. Gilbert, please, ask her to leave.
Ask her to... Oh, I see. I see a little game. You're trying some little game. You're trying to suggest in front of Miss Peters. Trying to suggest that somehow, in some way, there's something between us. Between you and me.
No. There's nothing between you and me. Nothing.
One moment. If there is
nothing. There's nothing.
There is nothing. Now, don't look at me like that, Peters. There is nothing. Now, you answer me. In front of Peters, answer me. Who said it to you first? Who?
All right, Gilbert. I see you trust Miss Peters, though I certainly wouldn't. Not if she was my assistant. I mean, not with all the suspicion, the mistrust, the doubt we all live with these days. Why, she could have your job 10 minutes after you were executed. She'd snap it up, too. You know that.
For the last time, who told you?
Well, if you insist. You did, of course.
I...
Gilbert, have you forgotten that night? Oh, that first night together, that gloriously rapturous night.
What in the name of...
Of course, I know you were, you weren't drunk, but you know, you talked a little too much, maybe. Said some things you'd not have said if...
No. No, she's lying, Peters. I swear she's lying.
If you say so, I suppose she is, but...
But what?
It's well known, Gilbert, Mr. Stainer, that you have a way with women.
Not this woman. Not this little conniving trollop. Believe me, Peters. Now believe me.
I believe you, Mr. Stainer.
And I'm sure our protector will, too.
What do you mean, our protector will?
He'll believe that everything I say in my letter is a lie. Nothing but a lie.
Say what in your letter? What letter?
Gilbert, darling, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But we do live in an age of terrible mistrust and suspicion, and, a girl has to protect herself, and so I wrote a letter to our protector telling him all about us.
There is nothing to tell about us. If you said there was, you lied. You lied!
No, darling, but let's hope he thinks so.
Well, when did you send this letter?
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't send it?
Gilbert, of course not. Would I want any harm to come to you after what we've been to each other? Weeks of torture? Slow death? Would I want that for you?
Where is this letter?
I have it. A friend of mine has it.
What friend?
Gilbert, if I told you that... Well, of course I can't. But you needn't worry about it. My friend won't send it unless... Well, unless something happens to me.
Unless... A shrewd little wench, Peters. A very shrewd little wench. There is nothing between us. And there is no letter, I'm sure of that.
Are you, Mr. Stainer?
Of course. Of course. Still, well, there... Well, this has all been... It's crossed my mind more than once. A tempest in a teapot, mountains out of molehills. The remark that was made, We've taken it too seriously.
We?
Well, you. Well, I, then. Well, no harm done. None. You may go, Miss Mead.
And my mother? And my fiancé?
They can go, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I want a safe conduct out of the country.
A safe conduct?
For all three of us. My mother, my fiancé, and myself.
I heard it. I'll see it's arranged. Good day. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, and to you, Miss Peters. I think I said to you a little earlier, I think I said I didn't know whether I believed in God or not.
Yes.
I believe in him now, Miss Peters. I believe in him now.
I don't recall Alexis writing a letter, do you? Could have, though. Not important. I mean, whether there was a letter or wasn't. What strikes me as important is that she called on God for help, only in extremity. Seems to me we all of us make that same mistake. Sure, call on him when you need help, but call on him when you don't need anything. Just call. Doors always open, 24 hours a day. I'll be back shortly.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 19 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, slow slotting, it looks European, but it's a Buick. Living free.
Last year, this kid came close to being just a name on a tombstone.
Help!
What saved him was Ellen Costigan. She knew what to do. Because we taught her. Life-saving. That's the whole business of the American Red Cross. Sometimes we do big life-saving jobs, like sheltering 500,000 people. Sometimes they're little, like helping an old lady get to the supermarket. Life. It's worth saving.
What a shot!
Give us a hand.
All right.
All is well. Alexis and Eric are married now, living contented lives in this country. Alexis' mother's well, too. Talking a blue streak as always. There's a difference, though. In this country, she can say what she wants to say, and does, without worrying about it. Our cast included Terry Keane, Gordon Gould, Joan Shea, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I stepped out just before sunset, choosing my footing carefully, watching the setting sun and thinking of Anne. And suddenly, yes, standing in front of me, beyond the battlements in mid-air, was the figure of Alfred Monckton. Faintly luminous, as he stands behind you now.
Was this before the news of the duel reached Wincott?
2 weeks? I didn't know the date of it then, as I do now. It was March 14th, the same day as I stood on the battlement.
The very moment the bullet entered his side and killed him.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
before news time at 11. A look at the weather. Fair through Friday. Low temperature in the low 40s. High temperature in the mid-60s. Winds north 5 to 15 miles an hour with a chance of measurable rainfall less than 10% tonight and tomorrow. And a 10% chance tomorrow night. The sky is clear in just about every part of the area. And Quileute, where it's 44 degrees, Hoquiam 45, Bellingham 49, Portland 60 degrees. Spokane has scattered clouds in 43. Whidbey Island has 48 degrees. San Francisco scattered clouds in 49. And now it's time for news on KIXI Seattle. It's 11 p.m.
CBS News, the U.S. ambassador to the fallen South Vietnamese government, criticizes his country, saying it failed to keep its commitments. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Graham Martin, the American ambassador to the old South Vietnamese government, says there was no reason the United States had to leave Vietnam the way it did. Aboard the USS Blue Ridge, Martin told reporters, if the United States had continued to do things the way it did during the first year after the Paris Peace Agreement, we would not have had to evacuate. Martin was one of the last Americans to leave Saigon before it fell to the insurgents. The House on Thursday could complete congressional action on a bill giving the government authority to spend $327 million to aid Vietnamese refugees. President Ford will probably request the action, and approval seems likely. The Pentagon says about 18,000 Vietnamese fleeing their country have been picked up by U.S. Navy ships from small boats off the Vietnamese coast. Secretary of State Kissinger estimates the number of Vietnamese rescued before the fall of Saigon would not be beyond 60 or 70,000. Kissinger said the U.S. had a moral obligation to the people who relied on this country for 15 years. Preparations are being made in several parts of the nation to prepare temporary living quarters for the refugees. A report from one such area, here's David Dick at Eglin Air Force Base, Florida.
Work continues at a feverish pace at the site in the Florida Panhandle where a tent city is just beginning to take shape. Each tent, which will eventually accommodate 12 people, has a plywood floor with concrete blocks for supports. Heavy equipment operators are preparing sanitary facilities, including one shower tent for approximately 150 people. A mess hall will be built, and an air transportable hospital is being flown in. 170 tents are scheduled in the first construction for the refugees who are expected to be here within the next 2 or 3 days. The Air Force says the facilities will be expanded as necessary by civil engineers. But as of right now, there is much work to be done before this site is ready for even the first refugee. David Dick, CBS News, Eglin Air Force Base, Florida.
The new government in Saigon has issued its first proclamations over Saigon radio, banning prostitution and dance halls, and announcing that all illegal activities would result in stiff punishment. More news in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Mike Roy, and as usual, I'm here today with Mr. Dennis Brackett.
And wherever we're together, it means we're going to tell you all about Mike Roy's cook thing on the CBS radio network for tomorrow. So, what's in the offing?
Well, we're going to turn our hand to bread baking.
We are, huh?
Only this time we'll make a delicious loaf of luscious lemon bread. Very different from the run-of-the-mill, tasty as toast.
You mean to tell me tomorrow you're going to go on the radio and bake a lemon?
You better believe it.
Well, tune in, friends, for lemon bread tomorrow on Mike Roy's Cook Thing here on the CBS Radio Net.
President Ford, for the second month in a row, has decided to wait before imposing announced new tariffs on imported oil. Energy officials said the president wants to give Congress a chance to pass an acceptable energy conservation program. Energy Chief Frank Czar put it this way.
I think the American people would rather have the president and their Congress working on solving a national problem with maximum cooperation rather than with maximum confrontation. So while there is the downside of that possibility, I think it's worth it in that we're not promoting an immediate confrontation at a time when there is a last hope that we can work out a mutual compromise.
The president did propose one new action, decontrol of the price of domestic oil from wells that were in production before 1972. Now this.
Mrs. Dawson has good reasons for using her pain reliever.
I use Anacin because it's dependable, it's long-lasting, and it works fast. I think it's a little stronger than the other ones.
Right, Mrs. Dawson. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in your bloodstream in minutes, in the final analysis, only Anacin hits the highest level. This difference is the extra pain reliever Anacin provides.
Anacin, for me, is the one that really works.
And millions take Anacin without stomach upset. Anacin, for a higher, higher, higher level of pain reliever. Take only as directed.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet golf champion Lee Trevino.
One day you're a happy guy like me, Lee Trevino, walking around swinging your clubs, and out of the blue, you get struck down by multiple sclerosis, the great crippler of young adults. Right now, there's no cure for MS, but there's hope through research. 500,000 victims of MS and related disorders may be invalids, one way or the other, all their lives.
Join Lee Trevino. Support your local chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
About an hour from now, a doctor's strike is slated to get underway in the San Francisco area. That's when many malpractice insurance policies expire and doctors face sharply higher premiums. Anesthesiologists in the area pay up to $22,000 a year for malpractice insurance. The Bay Area doctors have vowed to remain off their jobs until the premiums are lowered. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI, 91 on your AM dial at 6 minutes past 11.